Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Coming up in just a few moments, we've got a portion of a powerful message that was delivered in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church entitled The Well. But first, we have some great music for you from Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And before we get to that, I want to read for you an email that I received from Charles and Christina Lee. Christina is an author, journalist, and inspirational speaker. And we got this email from her. She said, "I just wanted to let you know that I got your Millennium Trilogy for Christmas and just finished reading The Last Buy to my children. They are very upset that there are no more books in this series. Your books are wonderful, even better than C.S. Lewis's A Horse and His Boy. If you write any more in this series or any other sci-fi stuff, please let me know. Sincerely, Christina Lee." Now, I've been telling people for some time that if you enjoy reading the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, you will love reading my latest novel entitled The Last Buy. That's B-Y-E as in journey. Instead of C.S. Lewis's The Horse and His Boy, this novel is more like The Flying Dinosaur and His Boy. You're sure to love it, and your kids are sure to love it. It's available on Amazon.com, as well as AuthorStock.com, and anywhere that fine books are sold. You can read a large portion for free on any of those aforementioned websites, and we hope that you'll check out The Last Buy, my third novel and the completion of my Millennial Teleport Trilogy. And now, from their project entitled Fearless, this is Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing From the Inside Out.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And my heart and my soul, will I give you control? Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside.
Inside.
and consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my
Now, we've got a portion of a powerful message that was delivered in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church entitled The Well.
I want to tell you that in this day and age, with leisure hours shrinking and it getting harder and harder to find time to do what needs to be done, what is rightfully needing to be done, we need to fight against that and making sure that we keep our priorities right. Amen. If you're too busy to come to church, you're too busy. If you're too busy to have a prayer life, you're too busy. If you're too busy to study God's Word, you're too busy. If you're too busy to live for God, you're going to go to hell too busy. We've got to make up our minds. I am going to fight to keep the good things in my schedule. And so it is, we need to look for opportunities to fellowship with one another. If you don't consciously, actively, aggressively look for opportunities to fellowship, you'll find yourself going for years with no fellowship. And where did the time go? It's like the dad who, I'm going to be the best dad in the world. And then he come down the aisle and he's bawling and squalling, giving his daughter away for marriage. Oh, look how he loved her. Look how hard he's crying. No, the reason he's crying is because it went from her being born to her getting married. And all that he meant to do, he never did. And he's weeping because of wasted time. When she just wanted a date with daddy and he wanted a date with his boat. And a boat's not a sin, but I'm telling you, you got to watch your priorities. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Courageous. Very good message. Very good message in that movie. It's very powerful. It'll make you laugh and it'll make you cry. But there's a point in the movie when the daughter begs the dad to dance with her. And he doesn't do it. He's too ashamed. He's too embarrassed. And then a short time later, she's killed in an accident. And he has to stand out there on the grass alone and do the dance. And he has to pray, Lord, if you can get a message to her, tell her I did my side of the dance down here. As I watched that, I was reminded, I don't know how my wife had the presence of mind to do it, but my wife grabbed the video camera and caught video of me doing the dance with Eliana. She's this wee little thing. In her mind, the Disney princess. And oh, the twirls, precious. I got into the car with Pastor Harris Sr. And I showed him Fox News clip on YouTube on my phone. I don't know if you saw this. They just passed a law. President Obama signed it in secret. This law, and I'm ashamed to say, was supported by both parties, Democrats and Republicans. I'm shocked and saddened and dismayed and embarrassed to report that. See, the president can't just make a law on his own. Congress votes and they send him the law. They've got to send him the law before he can sign it into law. And this is the law now. If the Secret Service are protecting someone, whether it's the president or a candidate or some staff member that he's assigned Secret Service to protect, if he's assigned the Secret Service to protect someone and you try to have any kind of free speech, holding a poster, talking to them with a bullhorn, yelling at them from across the street, if you try to have any free speech demonstration, which has been a protected right in America since day one, taken for granted for 230 years of our history, if you exercise your right to free speech now, they can arrest you and throw you in jail and charge you with a felony. It's the law of the land now. So we've watched as the don't ask, don't tell policy has been repealed and now practicing homosexuality openly in the military. We've watched as same-sex marriage has been pushed in this state, in this state, in this state. We've watched as the Obama administration has informed its Justice Department not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. We've watched as the government has socialized through the bailout, taken over huge chunks of the American economy. We have watched the communist socialization of America. We've watched as laws have been passed not only in Canada, but now in parts of the U.S., where if you stand up and say, folks, homosexuality is a sin in the Word of God, it is a sin and it's detrimental and harmful, you can be thrown in jail for hate speech crime. I told Pastor Harris Sr., I told him, there's a scripture that says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We talked about it as one pastor to another. What are we to do? I told him about the Pulpit Freedom Sunday initiative. Did you know it was not always so in America that the IRS said that if a church talks about politics, they'll take away your tax-exempt status? That wasn't always that way. It's only been just within a short few years ago that that was changed. And so now a group of pastors are rising up to say, I will talk about politics, about abortion and about so-called gay marriage and about all of these agendas of wickedness and socialization of our country. I will stand up and talk about this. I will talk about what this candidate stands for and what that candidate stands for and which one I'm voting for and which one I think you should vote for. I will talk about those things. And they're not only talking about it, they're taking a recorded, whether it be DVD or a CD, they're taking a recorded transcript of their message and they're mailing it to the IRS saying, if you're going to come and challenge me and take away our church's tax-exempt status, then come on, I'll see you in court. The IRS, rather shrewdly, has not challenged any of them. It's like a chess move. If they challenge any of these pastors, it will lead to a court case, and the court case they could lose, which would then publicly free and unshackle every pulpit in America to speak what should have been spoken all these years, but wasn't. So it started off as just a small number, just a handful. Then it went to dozens. Then it went to hundreds. And then last year it went to thousands. The last 2 years I've signed on to it, but I haven't sent my transcript to the IRS yet. It's catching on like wildfire. The churches are realizing this effort of the government to tell a church what it can and cannot say is muzzling the pulpit. And America's going to hell in a handbasket while the pulpits stay quiet. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to tell you there's some things we can do. We can pray. We can vote. We can preach. We can teach. We can talk to people. But do we have a guarantee? Now, if this was a theocratic society and all of us with one voice turned to God in repentance, we have a promise from Scripture. If my people, not just some people, my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. But we don't live in a theocracy. We're His people. But there's a lot of folks out there that are not. Abraham stood before God. As God's friend, he was counseled with by God before he went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Will you spare him if you can find this many righteous? I think based on that, we can deduce that God is not going to rain down fire on America as long as enough righteous people are living here and serving Him faithfully. But I don't think that we can say we have a guarantee that just based on our prayers alone that we can actually see things turn around and put back right in America. What will you do if we do all we can and it's not enough? Where will you turn if the well that is America dries up for you? And I'm not sure if you're aware of this. There are massive numbers of people, level-headed financial advisors, telling people there is a calamity coming and we're amazed it has not already happened. There are many people building impregnable safe houses in their basements, storing months and sometimes years worth of food and water. They are building generators and wind turbines and ways to get off the grid because they don't believe the grid is going to last long. If you're depending on the world's well, what will you do if that well dries up? I'm preaching to you not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Lord Jesus taught it this way. Look at the lily. It doesn't toil, it doesn't work. But look how beautifully it's arrayed. You think God cares about you less than He cares for the lily? Look at the sparrows, He said. There's not a one of those sparrows, those little tiny birds that are sold in the market for just a pittance. There's not one of them that falls to the ground that the Lord doesn't know it. You think He cares about you less than He cares about those birds? In case anybody would misunderstand, I'm not going to throw stones at anybody that panics. I'm not going to throw stones at anybody that builds a safe house and stores up months of food. But they're trying to get me to do that. I just have only one answer. My well is not America. My well is not my safe house. My well is not how much food I can save up. It's not about how much water I can save up. My well is my Jesus! I'm trusting in God! You say, well, Pastor Joseph, what if you're wrong? What if the rapture doesn't come before the tribulation? I'll tell you this. If I'm wrong about that, I know I'm not wrong about this. The Lord knows how to protect His people. When you look at America and where it's headed, that will instill fear. That's why I'm quoting the scripture to you. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If you get your eyes on the waves around you, Peter, you're going to sink into the storm-tossed ocean. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can walk on water! And so I quote for you this scripture. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I am telling you, it is a deliberate choice. I'm not standing here refusing to store up months of food and months of water because I'm ignorant about how terrible America's economy is. You cannot print money willy-nil to get yourself out of this kind of problem. What's good for a family finances? Know your income, know your expenses, and live within your means. To the Republicans who voted for the bailouts and the socialization of America, and to the Democrats who voted for the bailouts and the socialization of America, and by the way, let me mention Santorum did not vote for it, in case you're wondering who I'm voting for. Find one of them who didn't vote for it or support it. Find one of them who ardently spoke against it the whole time. It gets a very short list. To all of those people who voted for those bailouts, and do you know those billions of dollars given to those banks? Nobody today knows where that money is. It didn't go for what it was supposed to go for, and nobody will find it, and they haven't paid it all back. You can call it a bailout if you want. I call it stealing. To all of those people, I will tell you what's good for America is the same thing that's good for individual families. Know your income, know your expenses, and live within your means. We have got to have a balanced budget. You say, but why? We just keep printing more money. We just keep raising the debt ceiling. We just keep borrowing more from China. China's going to own us lock, stock, and barrel if we're not careful. We're over here bragging communism. Communism is terrible. Capitalism's the best thing since sliced bread. Can I tell you, communism, when it's forced on people against their will not work. Godlessness will not work. But can I warn you, capitalism without righteousness is a recipe for disaster. And you can say, capitalism's wonderful. How is it that communist China is in the black and they own us lock, stock, and barrel and we're the capitalists and they're the communists? Why? Is it because communism is better than capitalism? No. It's because they've been living within their means year after year, decade after decade. They're in the black. And we've been spending more than we bring in year after year, decade after decade. And America's in the red. They're not trying to get us out of debt. They're arguing over trying to reduce how much we go into debt each year. You know the difference between deficit and debt? Don't get me started. Deficit is how much they extend the debt this year. When they talk about deficit reduction, they're not talking about getting us out of debt. They're talking about reducing the amount by which we'll go into further debt this year. We don't need just to reduce deficit spending. We got to get in the black and stay in the black for decades, for centuries, before we can pay out the debt we already owe. Change we can believe in. Give me a break. We got change, but it wasn't the kind we can believe in. And so here we are. I know that America could very easily become a Greece. I'm talking about the nation of Greece. What's going on in Greece? They're being flushed down the drain financially. And they're about to take the whole European Union with them, which in turn will take down the whole world economy with them. How can one nation's failure take down all those nations in a union together? How can all those nations in a union together take down the whole world? It's because the world market has become one interlocked system. But Pastor Joseph, why would anybody want to destroy the world's finances? Hello, Antichrist? One world government, one world currency? You can't build something new till you tear down what's old. They're not going to let you tear down what's old unless it's not working. There are spirits at work. Wickedness in high places. What are we going to do? Lock ourselves in a corner and suck our thumb? America is not my source. The European Union is not my source. The world economy is not my source. The Antichrist, whoever he is, he's probably alive on the earth right now. He is not my source. America may go down and it may happen while I'm still here, but I will trust and not be afraid because God is my salvation. It is a decision. You got to make up your mind. The apostles faced a coming disaster. It was going to shake the world. It was a famine and an economic collapse that was going to cause starvation, immense suffering. And the apostle Paul, looking at what had been prophesied, warned people. But in his warnings was not an inciting to fear, but rather an exhortation to live carefully, to live within your means, to prepare yourself to weather the storm with confidence in God. If you were to go to the grocery store next week and your paycheck that's barely been enough to buy groceries now is then faced with trying to buy groceries that cost four times as much, what will you do? I know a God that can cause birds to fly over and drop food on my porch if he needs to. He's done it before. I wouldn't be the first. The woman who touched the hem of his garment had no scriptural precedent for that. She was the first. When Peter climbed out of the boat, he said, if it's really you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come on. When he climbed out of the boat and walked on water, the only other person to walk on water was Jesus. And he's God in flesh. Peter is the first person who's not God in flesh to walk on water. But if the Lord had to send birds to drop food onto your porch, you wouldn't be the first. He's done that before. The Lord's going to take care of His people. The Lord is going to take care of His people. I'm preaching in a way that will forewarn you in case those doomsday people with their impregnable safe rooms and their 2-year supply of food, in case they haven't come to you yet, they will get to you eventually. And when they get to you, you're going to have to decide how you answer them. Because if you let them stir up fear in your heart, this is what your answer will be. Where's my checkbook? I'm writing out a check for a year's supply of food. That would be your response when they instigate fear in your heart. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What's he saying? Don't sweat yourself worrying about tomorrow's evil. We got enough evil right here today. Everything's in the Bible somewhere. You think this is the first calamity the world has ever faced? No, it's not. If this comes to pass, and I pray it doesn't, I pray it's just like a bad weather forecast. Thank God the weather forecasters are often wrong. And we plan a motorcycle ride, and we say weather permitting. And the forecast says rain, and we say wait and see. And the forecast says, you're not going to be able to have your ride. It's going to be rainy. And we say, wait and see. And then it's beautiful, sunshiny, and we have our motorcycle ride. And we say, well, the weatherman was wrong again. These prophets of gloom and doom, they have more evidence to work with than the weatherman has to work with. But even they can be wrong. You know how many antichrists there have been? Now, I understand there's one ultimate antichrist that will arise. But the scriptures prove to us that there's not just one antichrist in history. There's many. And down through history, we can see one after another. And we don't know if an antichrist arises. We don't know if he's going to be the last final one before the end of the age, or if it's just yet another one coming to pass. We don't know. Just like an Azusa Street rider plans a motorcycle ride even when the forecast says rain, you as a child of God can plan for joy even when the forecast says fear. Amen. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. Just like a motorcycle rider plans a ride even when the weather forecast says rain, if you have faith, you can plan for joy even when the forecast says fear. He goes on to say this, in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Well, life handed you a curveball. What do you have to say to that? Praise the Lord. Elder Chuck Hoskins, very sick. They took him to the doctor. The doctor said, take him to the hospital immediately. They took him to UHC. UHC looked him over. They said, well, you're just fighting this virus. Just go on home. And if you get worse instead of better, then come back. Now, mind you, at the moment while they're telling him this, he has an abscess that is gangrenous. He's not just fighting the virus everybody's fighting. He has an abscess.
Well, we're all out of time for now, but we hope you'll join us again next Sunday at 11:30 a.m. and again at 11 p.m. when we will again turn our hearts toward God's Word. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you richly, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.